In the world of Lyrica and the Indrian Empire, the use of Hextech is prominent. Ruins speckled with mysterious obelisk spires covered in impression and runes that no one fully understands. At Seaborn Academy of the Arcane and Creative Studies, one of the 13 rival academies in the nation, four third-year students are placed in a team to go to their first official adventure. Will Sibia, Iggy, Prince Rabfaz, Zoop, and her companion Alfredo the Duck be able to solve the mystery, or will they die before they get a chance? You have to listen to find out.
All right, so you're headed back to the mine entrance, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so as you're following this dirt road back to the mine entrance, it begins to open up wider, and you see the outline of that tall cliff again in front of you, and then the two buildings that are on either side of the road. As you get closer, you hear the sounds of moaning and shouting, laughing and screaming and crying coming from up ahead. So similar sounds to what you were hearing before within the mist.
All right, what is our plan? What are we gonna do? Because I don't like this.
I mean, we can try to see if that spell works on them.
Right.
We can try luring one of them over.
We could try that, try to calm them down using that spell. Yeah, I mean, it affects everybody in the area. I could also try turning them. I mean, my specialty isn't just undead. I can turn fey and fiends and all sorts of things as well.
I don't think you want to turn fey.
Well, you know, I mean, it may, I'll just don't watch if I do that. Celestials, elementals, all that sort of stuff, you know, it's a bit of a grab bag of things. But these look like they're possessed, as I say. But as a last ditch effort, I'll have a go.
I can try to charm one and see if that works. I don't know if they still count as human or humanoids.
Yeah, that might work. I mean, the other thing worked. I think calm emotions is probably our best way, because A, it affects all of them at once, and B, we'll just, all the other options, we'll leave them off. Let's just try this one first.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
And if it doesn't work on my spell, you try your one. Or do you want to do vice versa? What do you think?
Go ahead.
Try first? All right. So I'm going to creep up.
Okay, go ahead and make a stealth check for me as you're creeping closer.
18. Good
18. Roll. All right. They don't seem to notice you as you are getting close to those stone carvings of the dwarven soldiers with the hammers embedded into the pedestals. And then you would recall that those are where the mechanisms that open the gates are, and then the keyholes for something like a key to go in. All right. And then how close do you need to be for casting the spell?
60 feet.
Okay. All right. So you're able to get up there, and let me go ahead and roll for your spell.
The effect I'm going for is suppress any effect causing the target to be charmed or frightened.
Charmed or frightened. Okay. And what's your DC?
Charisma saving throw DC 16.
So you notice that there's 10 creatures kind of assailing this door. There are three creatures that look like they have some sort of armor and weapons on them. The armor or weapons don't seem to be as tattered or torn up as the other seven creatures. Those three creatures get this aura of the emotional spell around them and then just shake it off. And the other seven creatures look like they're standing still for a minute. They pause from scratching and screaming for a moment. And it appears that they're kind of still, but their emotions have just been suppressed at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get the sense they're not in a charmed or frightened state right now. The three warrior type humanoid figures look around as they're being affected by this aura. And we'll take your stealth check from before, and they're looking around and don't really see you from behind the dwarven stone carvings.
Right.
But they're actively looking for where this spell came from.
Do they look similar to the others in that they've got these glowing eyes?
Yeah, go ahead and make a perception check for me to tell what these creatures look like from that distance.
Oh, critical fail. Well, a six.
Was it a natural
it
one?
Or...
Okay. All right, so you look really quickly as they're turning towards you. You notice that they do seem malformed, like they have shriveled up skin. You do notice that their eyes are glowing. They have really pale gray skin. But as one of them turns in your direction, you immediately kind of jerk back and like hide from them looking at you so you couldn't get a good look at the rest of the creatures.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. And what are the other three of you doing as Rob has kind of crept closer to these creatures?
Well, while he does that, and it's, how far is this? Oh, it's even fucking closer. God damn it. Nope. I can't do the thing I was going to do because I'd have to be within 30 feet of them.
Let me see.
Well, there might be other places to creep up to. Depends if you're good at stealth.
Oh, I also have to be. Wait, so are we all in a 30 feet
distance? Us three are.
Us three are. Okay, I'm going to cast Pass Without Trace on the three of us.
Oh, yeah. Pass Without Trace would be awesome. Yeah, let's.
Yeah, I'll cast Pass Without Trace right now.
I'm sorry. I just want to clarify. Is he within the range of us? Because we said he walked forward to be 60 feet away from them, but I don't technically know how far we are.
Yeah, I would say that Rob is probably about 50 to 60 feet away. I would imagine that since there's a building right next to that kind of open courtyard area where the railways are that are going into the mine, that you're kind of around the corner of that building. That's a large warehouse type building. And Rob has crept forward and you're just peeking around the corner trying to see what's going on with Rob and the creatures.
All right, thank you.
Okay, then it might be like, guys, like, if we get closer, I can cast Pass Without Trace on all of us. And then we most likely won't be able to be detected by anything.
It's the best plan we've got right now.
I think so, too. So the three of us are just going to creep forward until Rob gets in the ring.
I feel like Scooby-Doo right now. Just like,
yeah. Yep. All right, so go ahead and make a stealth roll for me.
Oh, God. I got an 11. We might die.
An 11? Okay. And is it just Zoop that is creeping forward? Or is Iggy and Sibia doing the same thing?
Well, if Zoop creeps forward, then...
I got an 8.
Oh, well, I guess we're all creeping forward.
Okay. We're all creeping forward. We're just going to be... We're Scooby-Doo style.
I got 10.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't want to stealth for a reason.
Okay.
I have a +4. I rolled a 4.
The thing is, with Pass Without Trace, you can cast Pass Without Trace, and when I move into the area, I get the bonus, don't I? So you could get the +10 on that if you do Pass Without
Trace. I think you have
to
be in the area when it's casted.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be in the area right now. So it's like each creature you choose within 30 feet of me.
No, but it's for the duration, each creature you choose within. So you've got an hour worth of adding people to the people within 30 feet of you. And it depends on your interpretation, because it's for the duration, each creature you choose within 30 feet of you. So you can cast it now and move in.
Oh, okay. And then let's do that, because we got bad roll.
It is an interesting feature of it. What's your ruling on it as a GM?
Let me go and take a look at the rules. I'm pretty sure that you can cast it and then move with it.
Yeah, and it says, for the duration, each creature you choose within 30 feet of you has a +10. Oh, you're right. Nah, that's kind of vague, actually. Now I'm thinking about it. Sorry. It is an interesting point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say at the time of casting, because it says, for the duration, each creature you choose within 30 feet of you.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time of casting, you're going to choose the creatures.
Yeah, and then, but if the creatures move out of the 30 feet range, they'll still last the whole hour, right?
So it'll still last the whole hour, but they have to be within 30 feet of you to get that bonus. So if they go 40 feet from you, they won't receive the bonus within the hour, but they can come back within that 30 feet. All right. So Sibia, Iggy, and Zoop have Scooby-Doo style tiptoed their way over towards Rob. And you notice that even though these zombie-type creatures don't have the best perception, they still can see some movement coming towards them. And they look out towards, I guess, Zoop and Sibia especially.
Fuck.
Kill. And then all of them turn as you hear this screaming and shouting and laughter come from them as they're moving towards you.
Well, is that all of them? Because I've still got my concentration on the calm emotions on the... It's just the ones in armor, right?
Yes, the ones in armor don't seem to have taken effect, but the calm emotions... For the seven of them have put them at a standstill in a sense, but they still now notice that you are there.
Oh, okay.
now they're suppressed with the sense of, I'm now going to kill you. So
but they're non-hostile at the moment.
Yeah, three of them are moving towards you, not very fast, but they are moving towards you. So what are the four of you doing?
We need a better plan, like, now. What are we doing? She's going to, like, take a few steps backwards while trying to assess the situation.
I'm going to try my backup plan of turning them, because it will affect everything, including undead.
Zoop is eyeing that building, that safety that they left behind. Like, damn.
Yep. Okay, so Zoop, go ahead and make a perception check. And Rob, can you read your turn undead for me? Do you have a destroy undead right now?
Yeah, so I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
My perception check was an 8, so I'm getting consistently low rolls.
I'm gonna just use my dice
at this point.
Okay, Rob.
As an action, I'm coming out of cover for this. I present my holy symbol, and one undead, celestial, elemental, fae, or fiend. Oh, that's only one. Oh, no. Dang. Okay. I thought it was a group like turn undead is. Oof. Do I get a sense of this, if these guys are undead?
From your encounter last time and their kind of visual representation, you can sense that they are of some undead nature.
All right. I'm going to try turn undead then, which is all of them within 30 feet of me. Must make a wisdom save.
And what's their challenge rating?
Doesn't matter. They have to make a wisdom save. Yeah.
There's a certain threshold of, yeah.
Oh, well, they wouldn't be destroyed, I don't think.
There's a DC that they have to beat to not be turned.
16, yeah, the DC.
Okay.
Why is it always gotta be zombies?
I know, right?
Yeah. Actually, I get 2 uses of this between a short rest. That could be useful.
Okay, you should have... Do you have the destroy undead at 5th level? You should have a destroy undead feature for cleric.
Possibly. I don't know where that would be. Yes, destroy undead, CR half or lower.
Okay, so are you going to use the destroy undead or the turn undead?
I don't get a choice. When an undead fails at saving throw against my turn undead feature, it is instantly destroyed if its CR is lower than...
Okay.
Oh, wow. It's an ability I didn't know I had. That's cool. So when I heal somebody, I can remove one spell from them, like of an unpleasant nature.
Those are the most satisfying clacks. I don't know why.
I'm very envious of it.
Oh, you could hear the...
Yeah,
it sounded really
good.
Was
that an actual dice? Was that a big dice?
Yeah, actual dice, and then I'm using my wooden dice.
Ah, that's
dice.
Why. That's nice.
Jeff's kiss.
Wood right. Clacks.
Okay, so immediately 5 out of the 7 like more zombie type creatures that have the normal tattered clothing on them just immediately twist their bodies and then just turn to ash. So 2 of them remain. And then there's 2 of the warrior creatures that as you're casting your spell, they immediately recoil and then start to try to get as far away from the source of your turn undead ability as possible. So they're heading in the opposite direction of you, but 2 of the smaller zombies and 1 zombie still coming towards you right now.
So much for saving.
Whoa, holy, okay.
But that
wow.
was badass, but so
yeah, if they were zombies, I guess they're too late to save them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
right?
so.
It's amazing. Oh my gosh.
All right, so I think at this point they're about 40 feet from you, so I'll need all of you to roll initiative real quick.
That's probably closer to me because I have to be within 30 feet of them to do that. So I kind of move forward a bit.
Okay, so yeah, we'll say that they're within 30 feet then.
I'm busting out my real life dice. This is
because I was gonna say I just rolled another 4. I have a +4 on initiative. I have another 8.
Bro, I rolled a 5, 4. Like I am miserable.
Yeah, D&D beyond digital dice can suck it right now.
Bro, this, like the way that I've been rolling, I'm gonna get steamrolled during the fight.
So Rob, what was your initiative?
Okay, initiative. Oh, a 7. Okay, I thought it was a 1. A 9 in total.
Okay, 9. Iggy.
12.
Okay, and Zoop.
7.
7.
Yeah.
Okay, and Sibia.
8.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, again, I'm not rolling any more things on D&D Beyond today.
So I will have to let you know that the bigger zombie, the zombie warrior, rolled natural 20, and then the other zombies rolled a 19.
Okay, well, you know what? They can all suck it. They can all eat a berry or something. I don't know, something a zombie wouldn't want to do.
I'm gonna
eat a berry.
You know, maybe they don't like that.
All right. Okay, so we are all set. Yeah.
Yeah. We're about to get our shit rocked.
I mean, I don't think so.
No, there's only three of them, so.
Yeah. I was gonna say.
They all rolled higher than us.
Yeah, but
if
I mean,
continue to get these low rolls, like we
might. I'm in the front line. That's not good. But two of them have run away, like two of the guys. In
yeah, two of the warrior type humanoids are now running away from you.
So as long as we don't attack them, they'll keep running for a little while.
Okay, yeah, for a minute. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a minute.
They'll try to get away from you as much as possible for a minute. Okay, so top of the round. And because the zombie-type warriors roll, or the warrior rolled the natural 20, they're going to go twice on their turn, as we like to honor the critical fails and critical successes. The zombie warrior is going to move 20 feet and then dash for its first action. And then on its second turn, it's going to get towards Rob, and then take out its long sword and take one swipe at Rob.
Okay.
And that's going to be a 20 to hit.
That's a hit.
Okay. And that's going to do 9 damage. 9 slashing damage as it comes down with its long sword. It looks like it's actually, it's pretty well worn, but it's not like old and rusty. Like it hasn't sat out for very long. So it cleaves into your shoulder with both hands. And then it just continues to growl and moan and skill. As you're looking at this creature, you notice a few things. Number one, it has this pale gray skin. Its eyes are all sunken in, and its blackened eyes with these little red irises. Then you notice that its mouth is kind of like jagged and like disarrayed in a way, very weird. And then off to the side of its cheek, you notice that there seems to be another mouth forming from its cheek. Whoa. And then as it was reaching out towards you and its armor is kind of exposed, you notice that there's another eyeball on its arm that is looking out towards you, the same dark eye with the reddish irises. And then as you're taking that in, you notice that there's just something twisted about this creature. The skin is twisted, the hair is all mangled, just everything looks very weird. And you're noticing some different growths around its body that seem to protrude different mouths and eyes.
Oh man, that is going ugly. Ugh.
Then the two other zombies head towards you. They are going to use their action to dash towards you, but they don't move very fast, so they're going to come and kind of get around you, surrounding you now.
I need to roll my con to see if I break concentration on that spell. So you did 9 damage, right? Because that spell, is that still affecting the non-armored ones, the calm emotions?
Yes, it would still be affecting the non-armored ones.
Okay.
So they're surrounding you, but they just are their kill action, or their thought to kill is not active right now.
Okay, sorry, did I just roll just now? Because my mouse is like taking back a page as I roll. Did that happen?
Oh, I didn't see. Yeah, just go ahead and roll.
I'll do another one. 11, so that's fine. I make my 14, I make my con save.
Okay.
So I'm still concentrating on the spell.
Alrighty, and next up is Iggy.
I was sooner than I thought. One of the big dudes.
Hopefully the one that's attacking me, because the other two are running away at the moment.
Yeah. Do I want to run up close? No, not really. But I'm going to bonus action cast Shadow Blade and run up to flank the big dude that's attacking Zuki.
Okay.
And so I paint a sword in the air and grab it.
Nice.
And it comes out of shadows. I think my last description was a lot better, but this time I'm just going to paint a sword and grab it up in air, and it materializes.
Cool.
And then I make a melee weapon attack, which I think we used my magic last time.
Yeah, I think you used your charisma.
But I have advantage
because we're modifier.
Yeah, you have advantage because you're flanking.
I rolled a 2 and a 3.
Oh my god.
Plus 8 though. Does a 10 hit? Or 11?
Oh my gosh, it does.
11
hits. Oh, wait, hold on. No, are you attacking
guy.
The big guy? Oh no, it doesn't hit the big
no!
guy.
No!
Yeah, sorry.
Oh man.
No, you use this blade to chomp into the bigger warrior type creature, and you notice that the tunic gets sliced, but underneath is kind of more of a brighter colored chainmail, and it just kind of clinks off of the chainmail.
Rude, this zombie has chainmail on. What the fuck?
Okay, anything else?
I tell Q to hide even though nobody can see her.
Okay. She stand, you see that she was like standing kind of to your side, and then she covers her eyes, and then you see her walk like behind you.
It's not entirely what I meant, but okay.
No one can see her, so. All right, Rob, you were up.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to bonus action disengage. Going to jump on my little flying beetle and fly up in the air a bit.
Is that okay?
Would it be an action to jump on it or not?
Yeah, you can use your movement for it, so okay. We won't take the action.
So I'll get 20 foot up in the air, and then I'm going to do chill touch on the one that's down on the ground that attacked me.
Okay. You have to make a spell casting attack.
Oh, 10!
10 does not hit. So your hand kind of comes out and then tries to make some contact with the creature's skin, and it hits the chainmail that is this creature is wearing.
Bloody hell, these are tough and ugly. Tough and ugly.
All right, Rob, anything else?
That's all my actions. Yep.
Okay. Sibia.
Nope. Yeah, I guess. Oh, man. Okay. Well, I'm going to pull out my glorious new pretty baby wave cutter.
All right, cool.
And I'm going to rush up and attack one of the smaller ones.
Ooh, okay. All right. Or you can use all of your movement, I think, to get up to it. And go ahead and make an attack roll.
All right. 22.
22 will definitely hit.
Nice.
As you pierce into the flesh of this creature, it turns towards you, and it just kind of screams in your direction and then starts laughing. What you do notice is that the smaller or the more shriveled up zombie creature, it has dozens of mouths and dozens of eyes all over its body. You can see it through the torn shirts and pants of this creature. It looks like horrendous. What this creature now is. All of these black beady eyes with the red glowing irises are all looking at you now. And as soon as it starts laughing at you, you can hear all of the different mouths are just like laughing in your direction. Then when you withdraw the wave cutter, you get a sense that it seemed like it was easier to pierce into this creature with the blade that you were using. Like it was almost easier for this magical blade to come into the creature. So go ahead and roll damage for me.
10.
Okay. And it doesn't seem that any blood or ichor comes out of the wound that you have caused in this creature.
I'm going to yell out real quick. Yeah, I think these guys are screwed, man. Just kill them.
Okay.
I totally Sibia. Missed on purpose.
All right, Sibia, anything else on your turn?
That was all my movement to get up there, right?
Yeah, all of your movement to get up there. You took your action, so if you wanted to do a bonus action, you still have
it. Yeah, I think that's pretty much all I got.
Okay, so Zoop, you are up.
All right. So for the big one, I know Rob flew away. Is Iggy within 5 feet?
Yes, Iggy is within 5 feet of the warrior creature.
Okay, so not going to do that one then. Okay, so
it's fine. Maybe. Depending on what you want to do.
I was going to do Hail of Thorn, so you have to make a dex saving throw.
It's probably fine. You do you.
Okay, so I will cast Hail of Thorn, and so it's a bonus action. I'll use my bonus action to cast Hail of Thorn right now. I'm just going to do that, and then I will attack the bigger one with my longbow. Let me go ahead and roll that. And that's a nat 20. So.
Ooh, nice.
Here we fucking go.
Okay.
Awesome.
Here we go.
All right. You'll do max damage on the roll, and then you're going to roll the dice that you need for your longbow and thorns.
So I did 17 points of damage.
Okay.
Oh, no. I'm going to do favored bow for an additional 1d6. So so that's 19 points of damage total.
But you also double the extra D6 as well.
So it's the extra 6, so that'd be an additional 8.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, so I did...
Okay. Yeah, the creature and then Iggy, I think you're going to have to make a dex save as well.
I got 19.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, the dex save is 12, so...
Okay. All right. Well, the creature failed that, definitely.
Sweet. So that'll be, since it was a crit, that'll be an additional 16 points of damage.
So you did 17.
Plus 8.
Plus 8.
25 plus 16 is...
Okay.
41.
41. 40, so you just did 41 on your critical hit.
Is it half damage if you succeed on the roll for the second thing?
No.
I just want to make sure.
Oh yeah, it is. It's half damage, so
okay. I'll be fine.
I mean, it's 8 damage. It's not that bad.
Yeah, not that bad.
In comparison.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I want a hellish rebuke. No, I'm kidding.
PvP.
All of these magical thorns just emit from your longbow arrow blast, and it just pierces every little break in the chainmail. And it's almost like the warrior creature is like staggering now. It's bent over. It looks very, very hurt, but it just turns and continues to kill.
Thorns in all the four eyes. Of you.
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
Zoop's quickly gonna say, "Sorry, Iggy, get out the way."
You're fine, I guess.
And then I'll do my second attack.
Okay.
Which will
be... Yeah, that was all one attack. Okay.
Yeah. Which will be the longbow again. So I'll roll that. It's a 9. Wait, plus 7. Oh, that's a 16 to hit.
16 just hits.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
So go ahead and roll damage.
These things are tough.
Okay, I hate that. I did 3, and then I'll roll my... What? I gotta stop clicking on that. 3 plus 4. I did 7 points of damage.
7 points is good enough to choose the fate of this creature.
Oh my god.
We become friends.
Zoop's gonna kill it. It's 100% gonna kill it.
You said you could decide the fate, you know?
Comes okay. Do you want to describe how you're gonna kill it?
Yeah, Zoop's gonna point her bow and say, "Back off," because Rob's in the air. Iggy's got kind of wounded and she's feeling a little bit bad about it. And she's gonna shoot the final blow through the cheek mouth and have it come out the other side.
Okay, so it turns its head as you're firing to growl at Iggy, and you see it like opening as it's screaming, going straight through its secondary mouth, back through the back of its skull and neck. And Iggy, you instinctively dodge out of the way as an arrow shoots past you and in severing the neck of the creature in front of you as it flops to the ground.
That solves that problem.
Yeah. And I'm like, "Iggy, again, I'm really sorry."
That creature is down, so the two remaining zombies are... One just got attacked, so I would see that overrules the calming effect of the spell. The other one is going to stand next to Iggy and just start screaming and laughing at her. So,
okay, sorry.
Real I just, quick. Like, put my finger in my ear, like, "Ow, stop yelling."
I think I have to, because 1 minute isn't over, I think Hail of Thorns activates again. So...
No, I think Iggy, it's one you... time in the next...
Yeah, one time during that.
Oh, before the... Okay, yeah. Cool. I was like, I wanted to make sure. I was like, "I'm sorry."
All it means is that if you miss when you use it, you can still keep firing and eventually it'll...
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so the zombie creature on Sibia is going to just basically reach out and try to claw at you. You can hear the mouths, and there's like an eyeball on the palm of its hand that's trying to reach out towards you.
That's going to
be a 15 to hit.
Oh, come on. Yeah, it hits.
Okay, and that's going to be 4 points of bludgeoning damage as it just hits the side of your face. And then as it removes its face, there, like where the eyeball was on the side of your face, it kind of like slurps off
as as it got kind of sticky on your face.
Sabine's just gonna be like, no, no, I'm gonna kill this thing. Don't touch me. That's gross.
All right. Let's see. Iggy, as you are kind of looking at both of these zombie type creatures, one of them is dressed significantly different than the other. The other one you notice has more of like a, and because you grew up on a ship, on a nautical ship, you would know that this is more of like a seafaring outfit that this creature is wearing. And you just saw, and compared to the two zombies, this one doesn't seem to have like as much of the deformities and malformities that the other one has. More or less similar to the zombie warrior that had just fallen. So you can take that into account as you take your turn.
Can I take a free intelligence roll to understand what the fuck you just told me?
Sure. Make a roll and then we'll work it out.
19.
Okay, cool. I will describe everything to you. So you kind of ascertain that, yeah, humanoid wasn't a miner. It came probably from a ship, and it's out of place. As far as the less of the malformities or deformities, you can probably ascertain that it takes time for these things to happen. And where that warrior was probably came in later into the mist and passed and died in the mist, the miners have gotten most the brunt of it.
It makes sense then. Cool. That's what I was thinking, but I wanted to be sure that my character understood everything you said. Totally. So I'm going to attack the one that's on Sibia.
Okay.
And I'm going to cast Dissonant Whispers, and it needs to make a wisdom saving throw. I'm doing it at second level.
Okay. Wisdom.
DC is 16.
Oh, nope. It fails. All right.
Fantastic. So at second level, it will take 4d6 psychic damage.
Okay.
And it must use its reaction, if available, to move as far away as its speed allows from me.
Mm-hmm.
That is 9 to 11, 14 psychic damage.
Okay, 14 psychic damage. Is there something you want to whisper as you're casting this spell? Or have it hear?
So I'm going to whisper my nightmares, basically, and just very, very quietly just go, the entire world that you love and everything you hope and dream is going to come to a crashing burn and die? And you don't remember it, but inside, deep down, you do. And just like, it's really fucking dark, so that's why she's whispering it specifically.
Okay. Okay. It looks back at you with dead eyes, and then it opens its mouth, and you can just get the sense, I'm already dead. And the damage that it feels isn't as effective as you would think. So there's some condition that it has that it's already in madness. It's already of this not complete mental awareness. So it doesn't do as effective damage, but it then turns away from you and starts walking as far away from you as it can. Or shuffling, I would say. Shuffling away from you as quickly as it can.
Fair. I'll take it.
But you get an attack of opportunity, right?
With Dissonant Whispers, I usually don't rule attacks of opportunity because it's a separate cause. They didn't voluntarily move away from the space. So,
okay. So it's my go, I guess.
Yep. And now it's Rob.
It would seem that my calm emotions is not having an effect because they're still attacking the two.
The one that is left, it doesn't seem to be reacting, or it's still under the calm emotions effect. But the one that was attacked by Sibia, it's kind of broken the spell.
So did we find anything that looks like the key to these doors? Because I think we want to get in there before the effect ends from my turning. So
we found one set of keys that went into the lots, but it appeared that there needed to be a secondary set of keys to activate both of the pedestals.
Okay, and we still haven't found a secondary set of keys.
Correct.
Okay, all right, we're going to get rid of these things before we can find their keys. So, how far away are the two that ran away from us? How far away have they managed to get?
I'd say about 110 feet.
In that case, one of them's getting a guiding bolt.
Okay. Ready?
So that would be a Yeah, 23 to hit.
23 will definitely hit. As the magic slams into the back of the creature, it exposes, again, some chainmail on the creature's body. Is there a certain appearance that your guiding bolt has?
I think, yeah, I just point my power glove at it. And yeah, this like shining set of rays just fires towards it and kind of lights up his entire body. Like there's a bloom of energy from inside its body that kind of lights up the inside of the armor and then just explodes outwards in like a shining array around it.
Nice. Go ahead and roll damage.
13 damage. And it's still glowing now. Anyone who attacks it has advantage on it.
Okay.
But these are the ones that are distant. The other ones are passive, right? While I'm maintaining the spell. So this one's going to come towards us now.
Yep. That one is going to come towards you. Because it was attacked, and the other one hasn't been attacked, so it's still going to attempt to run off.
It's about 110 feet away, so...
Anything else on your go?
I'm going to maintain where I am. About 20 foot up in the air. I'll move a bit closer.
Okay. Sibia.
All right. Well, that one that has advantage now. Yeah, I'm gonna go after that one with Wave Cutter, because... She's just going to look at it and she's like, I really like this thing. I'm glad I got this. This is fun. Also, I don't want any of these things to touch me again.
That one is
far away.
Yeah, that one's farther away from
you. That one's too far. Okay.
Yeah.
So you got a ranged weapon?
No.
Dang.
That was a perfect opportunity to say, these guns.
She kept.
Good, I completely lost my train of thought now. It's your fault. Well then, I guess I will just go for the closest one to me.
Okay. It seems like it's still shuffling around, but it's very weakened at this point.
Yeah, I guess most will take that one out. Yeah.
All right, well, let's see. 22 to hit again.
That'll hit, so roll damage.
All right. 7 damage.
7 is just enough to take it out. So, how would you like to end this creature's pitiful life?
Oh my god.
She's just gonna take Wave Cutter and almost like, she's just gonna take it at like arm's length and just kind of like slice out. She does not want that thing touching her again. And just go to cut it down.
Okay. And you notice that the magical energy of the sword is creating a pretty easier cutting path for it. So as you slice into the creature, severing off, we'll say into its neck area, its whole head rolls back as it slumps to the ground. And then as it hits the ground, it turns back towards you. Its head all halfway cut off, it turns back towards you. So it's on the ground, but it looks like it reanimated.
Oh, come on! Which is what Sibi is actually going to scream just directly at it while pointing the sword at it.
All right. Anything else, Iggy? Or Sibi, I'm sorry.
We are just the same person. We both have, you know. Anyway.
Merged. Long one.
I'm going to try and back up a little bit and kind of group closer to everybody else.
Okay. All right. And Zoop, your turn is up.
All right. So there's one reanimated.
Yep. That's on the ground.
Talking head. Okay. Great. And then there's like another one, right?
Yes. That it seems to be just kind of shuffling around in a confused manner, but not really going after.
I mean, sorry to them both.
Probably get the one that's running towards us. That one's the dangerous one. And you got an advantage.
Oh, is that the one that's shuffling?
That there is one that Rob sent a guiding bolt towards that has turned and is beginning to shuffle towards you again.
And those are the ones that got the good armor and loads of hit points, so they're nasty.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, sorry. I was like, there was three. And then I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, there's more. Okay. All right. So then, I mean, it's time to knock an arrow into this bow and let go. So let's see.
It's 110 feet away. Your longbow should be 150, right?
150, yep. And I'm going to have to take advantage because I rolled a 4. So let's see. Will a 16 hit?
A 16 will just hit.
Oh, okay. Thank gosh.
And this is just a regular arrow?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I will roll 8. Okay, I did 3 points of damage.
What did you roll?
A 1.
A 1? Yeah. Only have a 2 on your dex?
2 on my dex? No, but for the damage, it's 1d8 plus 2, right?
If your dex is 2, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so it sinks itself into the shoulder of this creature, and you can tell, like, it almost nearly didn't even phase it. So it took some, but not very much.
It was just so anticlimactic after the last one. It's like, that's yeah. it? What do you mean?
Yeah, it just kind of looks down and is just like, eh.
Zoop's like kind of embarrassed, but she readies another arrow. And okay, I got another 16.
16 just hits, so go and roll damage.
And that'll be, yep, another 3. So it's okay. Maybe the yeah. other shoulder?
Yep, so now it has 2 arrows in each of its shoulder, and it looks back, and then another one appears, and it looks over, and it just keeps shuffling towards you.
Zoop's gonna just loudly say, I tried. I tried really hard.
Okay. All right. So with one of the warriors shuffling back towards you, it's going to take its movement and action to dash towards you. So it is about 70 feet from you right now. All right. Now the reanimated zombie lifts itself up. And since Iggy is the closest to it, it will go ahead and try to smack Iggy in the face with its eyeball hand.
Am I the closest?
They'd be walked or backed okay. up. So
I missed that.
All right, that is going to be a 12 to hit.
Nope.
Okay, so it just kind of like lazily swings out towards
just
you.
Just bat and its hand away. No, don't touch me.
All right, and then the other one just kind of looks around. And it seems like it's a little bit confused, just screaming and laughing at you, but it's not taking any initiative to come attack. Okay, that will be Iggy's turn now.
Cool. I have a question. No, never mind. I answered my own question. It's in instructions of the spell.
Those are my most favorite questions. The one that's answered themselves.
Yeah. I was like, can I use spare the dying against undead? And then it specifically says this spell has no effect on undead or constructs. I'm like, rude. All right, I still have my shadow blade out, so I'll just attack the one that's next to me, even though it's a waste of... I mean, it's fine. 16 to hit.
16 to hit. All right, so go ahead and roll damage.
9 damage of the psychic variety.
Okay, 9 damage. So go ahead and describe how you would like to defeat this creature.
Is this the one that got its head cut off earlier?
Yeah, it's like half of its okay. head.
So its hand is what's grossing me out. As it smacks me, I take the blade. I'm like, look, you don't need that anymore. And I just like chop off his arm.
Okay.
So the arm goes like flying.
Yeah, it flies around, and then as it's flying out into the air, it just waves its fingers at you. The eyes are blinking in its palm. I'm going to roll for its fortitude. Oh, no, that's a fail. So it just slumps to the ground, and then the face just chomps at you and screams at you, and then its eyes turn completely black as it has ended its final breath.
Wonderful. Love it. Love that for us. I'm going to do something I haven't done in a while. I'm going to, like, draw a little star in the air with my paintbrush and cast Bardic Inspiration.
Ooh, okay.
Shoot it over to Sivia.
Ooh, all right.
Thanks.
It's like, Bard, you got
giving
this.
Bard's inspiration.
That's, you know.
I was like, do I have bonus actions? Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
All right. And Rob, you are up.
Okay, I'm going to try Toll the Dead on the one that's running towards us. So a DC 16 okay. wisdom save.
Okay. 18.
Oh, no effect.
Okay, so no effect. So a bell rings out from this vicinity and reverberates within the air. It knocks the creature coming towards you back a little bit, but it continues to press forward. All right, anything else?
That's it. Yeah, I'm just going to stay up in the air.
All right. And Sibia.
Boy, that was fast. Black nuggets. All right, which ones do I have in the vicinity right around me? There was the one that...
The one zombie that doesn't have any... That is just looking around but not really attacking you. Seems to be under the effect of Rob's spell. And then there is one of the armored zombie creatures coming towards you.
How far away is the armed one?
70 feet.
70 feet. Okay. Yep. Okay. Well, that's
not
really...
Mockery. You can do a vicious mockery. It's in range.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you've got that cantrip, though.
Oh, no, I do have Vicious Mockery. That says 60 feet range. I'm going to get close enough that I can, because that's the only thing I can really do at this moment that seems okay. Useful.
Yep, sounds good. What's the spell save?
14. Wisdom 14.
It fails. So what are you mocking about this creature?
You can't run right. You don't. Your armor isn't even on right anymore. What are you even doing? Who are you saving, protecting? Nothing. You're garbage. Get out of here.
It immediately starts crying. Go ahead and roll damage.
4 damage.
Okay. And that's psychic damage?
Everything would get out of my way. Yes. Okay. Psychic damage.
So you can tell that your spell doesn't have as much of an effect as it normally should on a creature.
He's still crying.
It's still crying, though. It took those words to its undead heart. Okay. Anything else, Sibia?
No, I think that is all.
Okay. All right. Zoop, you are up.
Okay. So first I'm going to, this is probably, I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but I think it's in character, so I'm going to do it. Zoop is going to cast Cure Wounds on Iggy because she does feel very bad about Iggy getting caught in crossfire.
Attack the, oh, you're healing, but I mean, thanks, but also I'm good. It was just a shot by an arrow. I've been shot by arrows before. Have you ever been on the board where they throw knives at you? I've done that before.
Oh.
Now that hurts.
I've never felt that before, and I'm really sorry. And so I'll heal Iggy for 5 hit points.
Okay.
And perfect. Then
I'm completely and totally healed.
And then, yeah, so now Zoop is looking at the same creature that she shot twice and did nothing to.
Okay.
She's gonna give it another whirl. And so let's see.
Is Cure Wounds is an action, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's just gonna attack. So
you can't. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Attack.
Oh. If you take the attack action, you can do your multi attack.
Okay. Fine. Then yeah. Iggy, okay. I did that for you.
I told you not to. But thank you.
All right. The zombie warrior continues to shuffle forward towards you all, moving an additional 40 feet towards you. And it is now within 30 feet of the rest of the group, Rob, Iggy, and Zoop, and about 20 feet away from Sibia. That's all of its actions. And we're going to skip the confused zombie and go to Iggy.
Shadow Blade again, I guess.
Okay.
But on the big guy.
On the big guy. So you're going to run up towards it?
Well, actually, the Shadow Blade is not doing as much damage as I'm hoping it would do, right?
You get kind of that sense that it's not doing as much as it should.
I will cast... I'm going to dissipate the sword and then paint a little bell in the air that turns real and starts to jingle at it, and I'm casting Toll the Dead.
Oh, okay.
Wisdom saving throw.
Wisdom save, what's the DC?
16.
16, ooh, it fails that one. It's not gonna do it with an 8, so go ahead and roll your damage.
That's 8 necrotic damage.
8 necrotic, right. As the bells toll in the air, you notice that it kind of shirks away from the noise, but continues to move forward. But it looks like it's affected by that.
Cool. Oop. Guys, little bells affect it. And then I will paint in the air another star.
A gold star?
A gold star. I'll paint it right on, since Zoop is right next to me, I'm going to paint a gold star on her forehead.
Yay!
For bardic inspiration.
Cool.
Here's a gold star. Thanks for helping.
Oh, thank you.
All right, Rob, you are up.
Okay. All right. What's brown and sounds like a bell? Dun. Pull the dead again. So.
From the distance, Rob, you hear a from Alfredo.
He was also tilting her head. What?
DC 16 wisdom saving.
Okay.
On the, all right.
Told the dead. 16?
Yep.
Oh, gosh. He rolled a 16, so he just saves.
Oh, I just don't have any good luck with this one. Oh.
Yeah.
You even showed me how to do it.
Maybe it's because you're so freaked out by necrotic magic.
Oh, no, a little bit of that.
Necromantic magic is what I meant to say. You're so freaked out by necromantic magic.
Well, you know, you could say that, except, well, no.
All right. Anything else,
bro? I definitely love it, the necromancy. That is all I can do.
Okay. Sibia.
All right. So the guy who was running,
shuffling,
making his way downtown. Don't make that. How close is he now?
20 feet from you.
All right, cool. I'm going to stab him.
Stab
with wave cutter. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to
make an attack.
Don't forget you have bardic inspiration. You have a gold star still stuck on your shoulder somewhere.
Is that a 1d8 as well? Yeah.
Downtown.
It's a d6. Goes up to it. Oh no, it is a d8. No, I'm only a second level bard. But yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, I'm 6th level. What the fuck?
Well, that's a 19 to hit.
Nice. 19 will hit. So go ahead and roll damage.
All right. And that's a 10. And then, so that was a 10 for that. So do I then just add a d6 roll in there for the bardic inspiration, or
no?
Or
just
that was the attack roll. Okay.
Yeah, attack roll. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. So 10 damage.
Yes, 10 damage.
All right. And once again, it appears that the magical energy of the blade makes it easier to pierce itself into the chainmail and into the flesh of this creature. Right, Sibia, anything else?
Well, as she pulls it out, she's just going to like pat the flat of the blade on her like thigh and just go, I love this thing so much.
And you do notice that as you retract the blade, it doesn't seem like there's any blood or ichor coming out of this creature. It's almost like it's pretty clean. Okay, Zoop.
All right, I'm going to use my bonus action to cast Hail of Thorns again, and then time for some shooting.
Okay, so instead of Iggy, you're going to do that to Sibia.
Oh my god. I was like, well, sorry. But, well, yep. You know, the world's cruel. It's a 22 to hit.
Okay, that's your t-shirt now. The world's cruel. Zoop.
Alfredo's going to be disappointed in you.
Yeah. Okay, that was a 22 to hit.
Yeah.
That'll hit, so go ahead and roll damage.
Okay, and I'll use the bardic inspiration here. So that's another...
Only on the attack rolls, not on the damage.
Oh, shoot. Okay, whoopsies. I'll use it next time then. Okay, so that will be 8 points of damage. And then I'll roll... Sorry. And then go ahead and make the... this is only a first level, so...
A dex. Okay.
Yeah, the dex saving throw.
All right, so as the arrow pierces into the chainmail, you do notice that it doesn't seem to have as much of an effect as it should with your arrow. It'll go and make a dex save.
Dex of 12.
12.
Okay, so it just missed. All right, and then what about Sibia?
And Sibia, go and make a dex save.
21.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so we both take 4 points of damage. So it would be 6 plus 4. So that's 10 points for the enemy, and only 4 for Sibia. Okay. And then I will say, like, mentally, sorry, Sibia, could you kind of skedaddle next time?
I was kind of having it. I was kind of...
Yeah, it's just kind of hard when you're very close.
Thanks!
Okay, sorry!
Maybe don't cast that spell when you're shooting.
Apology not accepted.
Yeah, that's what people with swords do, you know? I mean, they got to get close.
And Sibia and Zoop, you notice that the creature is hanging on by it is very close to being worn down.
Okay, then I will use Bardic Inspiration to add the D8 to my next roll, to this roll.
You can choose to do it after you roll.
Oh, okay.
If you need it.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And it's a D6.
A D6, okay. So a 15 is not going to hit, because it's 16, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
So then you can use the D6.
Yeah.
Yay, so that's a 20 to hit.
20 does hit, so choose the fate of this creature, as it only had 1 hit point left, so go ahead and describe how you're gonna take it down.
Okay, so Zoop's like, does this count as an apology, Sibia? And then let's go of another arrow, and it's going to aim just a little bit above what the chainmail, so probably around the neck area, and pierce all the way through.
Okay. All right, so it embeds itself into its neck, and as it's falling, Sibia, you just hear all of the mouths and the screaming, and then as it's falling, it just laughs and then kind of does a shudder and then dies.
Why do they always have to laugh at me?
I think they're just laughing in general.
Okay, so the four of you are technically out of initiative, but one of them is still under the effects of a spell that lasts 1 minute, and the other one is running away that is under effect for a minute. So we'll let you do what you want to do for a little while.
Well, we can all hold our action and like attack at once on each of them.
Well, I'm just saying, we could all just like go ham on this one dude all at once, just prep our stuff and just like slam him with it to drop it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if we all hit it, it's gonna die. This sword is really great.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let you all do that if you want to do that. Okay, so now you're surrounding the one zombie that is left, stabbing and cutting, and are you using a melee weapon, Zoop?
Zoop will let Alfredo go to town just so he has some, just so he has some action.
I'm casting Eldritch Blast from afar.
Okay. All right. So casting your various spells and whatnot, it falls to the ground, and I'm going to just roll for its undead fortitude. And it seems like it's just remaining still on the ground. So you've successfully handled that one remaining zombie, and then the other one now seems to be running farther and farther away.
I'm going to start searching bodies for the little keys.
Okay. Going to make an investigation check.
Natural
20.
23.
Okay. All right. So you don't find, let's see here. You don't find anything of worth on the miner. On the one with the armor, you're going to find two things. One seems to be like a badge that has the North Falls emblem on it. And it looks like it's kind of like a silvery badge. And underneath it, it says deputy.
It says what?
Deputy.
There's a coin pouch, so there's 11 gold in various types. Okay, and then on the sailor, you find another couple things. You find 25 gold in the coin pouch, various types of coin, and then you also find a small potion that looks like it hasn't been used at all or uncorked or not. But you also find a used bottle, like an empty bottle of the same size and type, but one of them hasn't been used. And then as you're searching around, you notice that there's like a strange tattoo on this creature, this humanoid. You're probably trying to avoid like the various eyeballs and mouths on its arm. Like
trying, keyword.
And so, yeah, you remove the tunic to try to expose it on the forearm. It looks like there's a crown on a skeletal face that appears to have an open mouth that is almost like it's yelling or screaming. And then there's two teardrops under the skeleton's socket eyes.
Can I roll a history or religion check to see if I recognize that?
Yeah, yep.
Go ahead and roll history for to tell what symbol that is.
Yeah. 24.
Does it have to do with sailing by chance?
It is, yes.
Would I get advantage because of my background?
What's your background again? A sailor?
Sailor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If your background is sailor, go and get advantage.
Another natural 20.
Okay.
About 24 as well.
Okay. Well, I think, Iggy take this one as she's doing the searching. So, Iggy, you have heard your father talk about some malicious sailing ships within the Blood Sea that travel down the coast. And there's really only a rumor that you've heard about this. You haven't seen it. And he was just, it's kind of like a ghost story. But you've heard the mention and you've seen the emblem of a ship called the Wailing Queen. And they always talk about this pale ship that emerges from the mist and is filled with ghostly and ghastly creatures that take down any that is merchant ship that has rare artifacts and that kind of stuff. So it's kind of like a ghost story that he started to tell you, and you do know that there's some grain of truth to it. Like he's told you there's some grain of truth, but it's just kind of a rumor that you've grown up with.
The fuck? How's this person part of the Wailing Queen? Or is it just because he likes the Wailing Queen?
What?
What exactly is the Wailing Queen?
It's an old ghost story my dad told us, but there's like this ship called the Wailing Queen that only emerges in mist, which is weird because it's red mist here. Was red mist here. But it's supposed to have like ghosts and gas and shit on it that attack merchant ships in the sea.
Well, maybe whoever brought this mist was working with them. Or maybe the, yeah.
What? Oh, fuck. What if it's true and that's why Seaborn's possibly next? Because they're attacking port places.
Yeah, but why? Mm. It must be something to do with the spires, surely. Why would they bother with this after all this time?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly thought it was fake, so.
Do I know anything about the ship? Like, who the captain is rumored to be? Or is it just nobody's lived to tell the tale?
It's kind of a nobody's lived to tell the tale type of thing. From your check, you have heard the stories and the rumors of it, the children's bedtime ghost stories. Nobody claims that they are captain of the Wailing Queen. It's just the Wailing Queen emerges and the skeleton crew and the ghosts of the crew will take you away and all of your goodies and whatnot. So.
That's not good news. Look, we should try and get into this mine, though, see if there's any survivors.
We don't have the keys. They're not on any of the bodies.
Right, but thinking about it, we can look into it. I might be able to help get it open, but it just depends on how many locks or... Yeah. Depends on how many locks. I can do, like, one lock.
Let me have a look. I'm gonna investigate the lock and see if we can work out how many locks there are and if it could be picked. And then you can have a go at it.
Okay, so as you all have now finished this encounter, one of the zombies is running away for its life for quite some time. It doesn't seem like a threat as you all are looking around trying to figure out how to get the mine open and maybe if there's any survivors. You all look out towards the two buildings that are around this area, and we may try to discover what is inside those two buildings next time.
Hooray.
Yeah!
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Adventure Academia. We will be back every 2 weeks with another episode. Please check in the description below for details on where to find our DM and players online. If you enjoy this show, please also check out the other shows for Beholder to No One, with discussions every Monday with the TTRPG community and one-shots on the opposite Thursdays. Please check out Beholder to No One on Twitter to see what other fun things the show is doing. And join our Discord if you're interested in talking to the party or just hanging out. See you then. Bye.